Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janaballagva Hiribarudahuti. Gopi Jana Malabha Hiribarudahuti. Yasoda nanna braja jananjana. Yasoda nanna braja jananjana. Jamuna te rabana chaguti. Yamuna te rabana chaguti. Jai ho rad ho madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha O Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Gopi nana malabha hiri varadhare. Gopi nana malabha hiri varadhare. Yasoda nanna braja jananjana. Yasoda nanna braja jananjana. Jamuna te rabana chalte. Yamuna te rabana chaluti. Jai ho rad ho madhava kunja bihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Madhuva Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrikacharya. Bad Kijai, Anandagoti, Vaishnav, Rinnikajai, Namacharya, Shilahoyas, Thakur Kijai, Prem se koho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Guru Rabu Nichiranda Shidwaita Gadad Ha Shivasiti Gaur Bhaktivinoda Gajaya. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Govardhananath Shai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagadada Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Talasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Gajaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 18th chapter, text 19. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Atatro pahuya Gopalan Krishna Praha Vihara Vit Hey Gopa Viharishamo Dwanvi Buya Yata Yatam Tatro Pahuya Gopalan Krishna Praha Viharavit He Gopa Viharishamo Dvanvi Buya Yata Yatam Tatro Pahuya Gopalan Krishna Praha Viharavit He Gopa Viharashyamo Dvan Vibhuya Yatayatam Tatro Pahuya Gopalan Krishna Praha Viharavit Hey Gopa Viharashyamo Dvandvi Bhuya Yatayatam. Okay. Okay. Tatra thereupon. Upahuya calling. Gopalan the coward boys. Krishna Lord Krishna. Praha spoke. Viharavit the knower of all sports and games. Hey Gopaha, O coward boys. Avihara Shamaha, Let us play. Vandibhuya. Divided into two groups. Yata yatam. Suitably. Translation. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the coward boys and spoke as follows. Hey, coward boys, let's play now. We'll divide ourselves into two even teams. So you can repeat. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the coward boys and spoke as follows. Hey, coward boys, let's play now. We'll divide ourselves into two even teams. So, a purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word yata yatam means that Krishna naturally wanted the two teams to be evenly matched so there would be a good game. In addition to the pleasure of sporting, the purpose of the game was to kill the demon Palamba. And we'll just read the Acharya's comments, and then we'll speak. He then spoke specifically, pra-aha, to attract Palamba in order to kill him. Krishna is called Viharavit because he was knowledgeable of everything about the game. He then spoke specifically, pra-aha, to attract Palamba in order to kill him. Krishna is called Viharavit because he was knowledgeable of everything about the game. By this game, he would make Balaram happy and have him get on Palamba's shoulders. He knows all aspects of this particular game. So, go back to the Sanskrit. Tatro bahuya gopalan krishna praha viharavit he gopal viharishyamo dvandi bhuya yata yatam. Omagana timidanda shagaranjana shlakaya chakshurun meditam yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So the Prabhupada ki jai. So, I don't know exactly what you spoke about in the past. I heard Mother Irmila's class yesterday. So this particular pastime occurred in a very special place in Braj called Bandiravan. Has anyone here been to Bandiravan? One, two. Two people have been to Bandiravan. So Bandiravan is where Krishna had many of his coward boy pastimes, but also there's something very special that happened at this place. Once upon a time, Nanda Maharaj was holding little baby Krishna. He was a little baby at this particular point, or he was walking with him by the hand or something like that. And then all of a sudden, there was a storm. Lightning and thunder and everything started to shake. And then he was very worried about Krishna's safety. So then a young teenage girl, came up to him, who was actually Radharani, who had actually made herself older. Because Krishna and Radha, they have, of course, transcendental forms, not like our forms. I mean, I wish I could make myself younger, older, according to my desire, but my body is material. It functions according to the time factor. So anyway, so she appeared like teenager, and so she said, you know, let me have him, let me hold him for a few minutes. And so she held Krishna and took Krishna away from that particular spot. And then Krishna manifested his youthful form too. And then they called for all the demigods, especially Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma performed a marriage, what's called by the Gandharva rite, under the tree, which is called Bandira Vat. Vat means like tree. So Bandir, to tie things together. So Radha and Krishna's clothes were actually tied together in this marriage, and they were married at that particular juncture. Then, after a few minutes after the marriage, then Krishna assumed his normal little tiny form, and he was brought back to Nanda Maharaj, and the storm was over. So this happened at Bandiravan. Okay, so that's, I just wanted to mention that, which I thought was really interesting. Then we'll talk about, as Mother Irmila mentioned a little yesterday in the class, about who the demons represent insofar as different anarthas. And yesterday she was talking about pride. But there's more to it than that with Palambasura. Palambasura manifests or represents the beginning of pride, which is lust, the desire to enjoy someone else. Because the desire to enjoy someone else means that I think I have the right, the adhikar, to actually exploit and enjoy someone else. And I was thinking about this in regard to something that happened in my house. Just the other day, the devotees arranged for an exterminator. Not to exterminate me. I'm still here. But they arranged for an exterminator to spray around the house because, anyway, these ants and everybody were eating different parts of my house. And then so every morning when we sweep, there's actually a pile of ants, and some of them are writhing in pain. We saw that last night and in the morning. I mean, anyway, and it causes me to think, do I actually have a right to arrange for the killing of these living entities? Because each and every living entity is as dear to Krishna as I am, if I'm actually dear to Krishna. I haven't figured that one out yet. But anyway, is as dear to Krishna as anyone else, each and every one of these little ants. And, you know, we have this attitude, unfortunately, that, you know, these lesser creatures, beginning, of course, in America with the creatures that we eat, but these lesser creatures are actually something that we can exploit, enjoy, whatever. And many Christians, they have this misunderstanding of the Bible's passage where man or mankind or womankind too is given dominion over all creatures, isn't it? The Bible says that. And sometimes, you know, I have arguments, or don't want to say arguments, talks with Christians, and they say, in the Bible it says, you know, we should kill, and we could do whatever we want over with any other living entity because God says we have dominion. I said, dominion means great responsibility. Like a father and a mother, they have dominion over the children, at least until the children become of mature age. In some families, the father and mother have dominion over the children until the children are 95, but that's another issue. Especially if the people come from India. It's like that. So, but that doesn't mean the father and mother, Prabhupada actually said this too in a discussion, several discussions, the father and mother don't eat the children. Dominion means a very high responsibility. So this pride and lust, because lust is actually the basis of pride, and lust means that I can exploit you and enjoy you. Sometimes we think, you know, love, sex, and it's interesting in practically every single movie, even a movie that's about some, you know, higher philosophical point like Matrix or whatever, they have to throw in, you know, lust in the movie. You know, and so the point is, whoops, there's my teacher. The point is that this lust basically means that we feel we have the right to do whatever we want with someone else or any living entity. They're an object of our enjoyment instead of a subject that's just as important as us. And of course, when you reach the highest stage of Vaishnavism, then that stage is paradukaduki, where you're more concerned with other living entities than you are with yourself. And of course, talking to the devotees, we mentioned this one example from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Vasudeva, the leper. I think you've all heard about him. He had leprosy, and these bugs were inside him, or worms were inside the running sores, and sometimes the worms fell out, and he just put them back in. Now, I'm not saying that we can imitate that, but or you have the Vasudev Dutt, for example, who had the attitude that when he was praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please let all these living entities go back to Godhead, and I'll stay here and suffer all their karma, you know, just put all their karma on me. And of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't do that, but he also was fulfilling the desire of Vasudev Dutt. So how do we, the question is, how do we actually conquer this particular attitude? Because it's not just pride. I mean, the pride is a manifestation of lust, which is a manifestation of myself thinking I'm more important than others, and I can use others, because that's really what lust is. I can use others for my sense gratification. And, you know, sometimes even in spiritual life, or not in spiritual life, but in a spiritual society, we do that. We want to use others for our particular goals, thinking others or others' lives or others' spiritual lives or even material happiness is less important than my happiness. I can sacrifice them. You know, of course, we have this slavery in the United States. We have this chauvinism, which is actually a manifestation of that. And there's so many different manifestations of that. So, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a methodology to overcome this. And, of course, that's the Shikshashika verse. What is it? Manina Manadena. That we have to be ready to offer all service to others. I consider ourselves to be a servant of everyone, you know, Gopi Bharata, Padakamala, Dasa Dasa, Dasa Anu Dasa. That doesn't mean we do what everyone asks us to do. You know, if I did what my parents asked me to do, I wouldn't be in the Krishna conscious movement right now. I remember I was listening to one memory where Prabhupada was speaking to Giriraj Maharaj's parents, and Giriraj Maharaj's parents basically offered Prabhupada basically whatever he wanted, millions of dollars or whatever, if they could have Giriraj Maharaj back. You know, they were intimating that whatever you want, just give us our son back. And then Prabhupada, instead of, you know, bargaining, saying, all right, we'll trade Giriraj Maharaj or Giriraj for $5 million here. It's a good deal. I don't know if I would do that. But anyway, so Prabhupada said to Giriraj Maharaj, all right, do you want to go back? You can be Krishna conscious in your own home, and you can be happy, you know, serving Krishna and being with your parents. And he said, no. There's no way, you know, I'd rather die than do that. And so Prabhupada's very expert, and he said, look, it's his desire. You know, I don't have anything to do with it. He just wants to serve, and but you're all blessed. And in this way, the parents left in a very nice situation. Anyway, so really, the whole point is to be concerned with others and to serve others in the way that is best for their own spiritual lives, not necessarily to do what others say. So that's the other point I wanted to deal with. And so we also have to avoid watching different videos and things like that where they just stick in lust. I mean, even when you look at the news, you know, innocently I try to look at the news someday, not someday, every day. I look at the, except for Ekadashi, when I fast from the news. So they always put something there that's meant for stimulating the lust or the desire to exploit others. And of course, different things like pornography are very present nowadays, prominent nowadays, because of this stimulation of lust that has occurred in our society. So anyway, next topic. So in this particular verse, we find something very, very interesting. Getting back to the verse itself. Viharavit. Krishna is the knower of all sports and games. And Krishna also is the supreme controller. Not only is the knower, he's the controller, he's omniscient, you know, omnipresent, all good, and all those other things like that. So Krishna's arranging all these things. No problem. No one's interfering. No one can interfere with his planning all these things. And his supreme ability to have his desires fulfilled is known as the Icha Shakti. Icha Shakti means the Shakti of his desire. You know, in the material world, our Icha or desire is one of the impediments to advancing in Krishna consciousness. But Krishna's Icha Shakti, you know, he gets what he wants. Of course, Bhagavatam, it describes that Krishna is he's independent, swarat, and aptakama is another way of expressing the same thing. He gets whatever he wants. So the point I'm making here is that Krishna gets whatever he wants when he's dealing with demons. But when Krishna is dealing with his devotees, Krishna doesn't necessarily always get what he wants. Because as described by the acharyas, that prema, that means love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna, actually overrides the Icha Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's interesting, isn't it? So you may say Krishna is a supreme controller, but prema is actually controls more, controls Krishna. And I'm going to tell a story about this that's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And once upon a time, this is actually from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Interesting story. I was just reading the story. Once upon a time, Krishna had a desire. And his desire was to make Rukmini, his chief queen, angry. Because Krishna enjoys this anger. But Rukmini is Dakshina, which means she's a right-handed wife. That doesn't mean she uses her right hand to chant japa and the left-handed wife uses the left hand to chant japa. Actually, that was one of the problems people had when they were left-handed. They joined the movement. They couldn't figure out how to chant japa, how to eat. And they got abused by the other devotees because of their not being ambidextrous. So Krishna wanted to make her angry. Fine. Because as Krishna stated later on, that in household life, the man and the wife enjoy joking words sometimes. Right? You experience that. So Krishna wanted to make her angry. So Krishna basically said to her that you married the wrong guy here. You know, you married the wrong guy. And he gave so many different reasons. You know, I'm a coward. You know, I ran to made this city in the ocean just to get away from all the earthly kings, and I don't possess anything. You know, and actually she explained it later on, but that's not the point of this whole discussion. So instead of her getting angry, what did she do? She fainted. Because when you're dealing with someone who is right-handed, let me explain what that means. The right-handed wife, there's a left-handed wife. Right-handed means they're submissive. You know, submissive wife. Is that an oxymoron? sorry about that one. So left-handed means they're not exactly submissive. They'll talk back and they'll argue with you sometimes. Although before marriage, they all appeared to be dakshin. So it's my little humor interjected in class. So what happened is that she fainted, because the point is that when you try to be a little oppositional with someone who's dakshin, they get an anxiety. And when you try to get oppositional with someone who is left-handed, they get angry. So you got to figure out who you're talking to first. Just ask, are you right-handed or left-handed? So you have to know how to interact with them. So what happened is that she fainted, and then Krishna realized he didn't get what he wanted. The acharyas talk about that in the purport. Krishna didn't get what he wanted. Here, he gets what he wants because he's dealing with demons. Demons don't control Krishna. But devotees control Krishna. In fact, when we talk about the six qualities of pure devotional service listed in the Nectar of Devotion of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the last two, which are, you know, unlimited ecstasy and the only means of controlling or attracting Krishna, they're only available in prema, when you have prema. Because by prema, you can actually control Krishna. And of course, when you reach prema, you don't want to control Krishna. That's the catch-22, unfortunately, that when you get prema. And the 25th quality of Srimati Radharani is she always keeps Krishna, what, wrapped around her little finger. Actually, the 23rd quality I really like. Does anyone remember what the 23rd quality of Srimati Radharani is? Is it either 22nd or 23rd? No? No one knows. She's very kind to old people. That's one of my favorite. Now it's one of my favorite. It didn't used to be. But now it's one of my favorite qualities. So anyway, Krishna doesn't get what he wants. It's really interesting. And there's other stories about that too. I mean, for example, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Krishna stating that his desire when he actually left Vrindavan was to remain a brahmachari. Some determination he had. Anyway, so many people say, well, how could you say he remained a brahmachari when, in fact, he was dancing with all these girls at night? I mean, if I discovered one of the young men here dancing with girls at night, I'll make them change the color of their dhoti immediately, right? No more saffron for you in this lifetime. Just pick one and marry one. Anyway, so Krishna, but you know, there's that whole story in Braj that Krishna, the gopis, they were able to cross the river, just stating, you know, Krishna's the best brahmachari, and the reason that Krishna's the best brahmachari is that Krishna was dancing all these girls in the middle of the night, and he just didn't have any lust. You know, it was just pure loving exchange. As I mentioned before, the lust is the desire to exploit someone, whether it's an ant, whether it's an animal that you're eating, any sort of exploitation of any other living entity is lust, in which Palamba or Palambasura represents. So anyway, so Krishna was a brahmachari, and he went to brahmachari, he went to Gurukula too. Sandapani Muni got trained in brahmachari life, and he decided, let me remain brahmachari. So he had a problem. His devotees didn't like that idea. Rukmini, he describes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he got a note from Rukmini, please save me, they want to marry me to Shishupal. How can you let what is meant for the lion be taken away by the jackals, right? And so Krishna thought, oh my God, there goes my brahmachari life. And then, of course, there was one wife after another, you know, until he got to 16,108, which is nothing for Krishna. So there's another instance, you know, Krishna's desire was not fulfilled. And there's other instances too, like Satyabhama nag Krishna, you know, I want this Parijata plant. You have to get me this whole Parijata plant. Because she was nagging Krishna. She's left-handed wife. She's actually expansion directly of Srimati Radharani. And Krishna just had to go. It's described by the Acharyas. He was nervous. You know, he just wanted to please her. You know, he had to do that. And so, anyway, so these are all different instances, stories of how Krishna gives up or his desire, shakti, becomes subordinate to a devotee's prema. So what does that mean for us? It doesn't mean that Krishna's desire is going to become subordinate to our desire. But what it means, practically, is that Krishna's ordinary statements, I don't want to use the ordinary, but Krishna's statements in the Gita, you know, like, Bohanam Janmanamante Gyanavamam Prabhajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sarmahatma Sudrulabhat, and I'll translate that. that after many, many births, then one comes to the point of understanding Krishna is everything. That's interesting. Krishna is everything. Like Prabhupada said, to say that Krishna is God is incomplete. That he's, you know, the supreme person is actually an incomplete description. He says you have to understand how Krishna is everything. In other words, achincha beta beta tattva. So our understanding isn't that, you know, Krishna is just God. Of course, there's more than that. Krishna's in the spiritual world playing with his friends. But that Krishna, in one sense, is everything. Maya tatami dam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani laham teshva svavastita. So, I mean, that's what it means, that Krishna is God. So, anyway, so let's take Srila Prabhupada. Well, not take Srila Prabhupada, let's serve Srila Prabhupada. But so Srila Prabhupada is on the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna Prema. So ordinarily, according to Krishna and the Gita, it is very difficult. It takes a long time, or in other words, manushanam sahasreshu, etc. After many, out of many millions of men, perhaps one is looking for truth, perhaps out of one who knows the truth, hardly anyone knows Krishna. So with Prabhupada, Prabhupada has actually given us an ironclad guarantee that if we serve him in this lifetime, which means following, you know, the rules and regulations, chanting, and serving his mission, then we're going to go back to Godhead. And so Krishna may object to that. You know, what about my words in the Bhagavad Gita? You know, what happened to Manushanam Sahasreshu? What happened to, you know, Bhavanam Chandanante? You know, come on, let's read Bhagavad Gita. But Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sashrikoi, Labhamatra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. By taking Prabhupada's association, of course, taking Prabhupada's association is more than just taking the foot bathing water and the dust and the prasadam remnants from Prabhupada, but to actually always be in Prabhupada's association by being in his mission and following the practices of Krishna consciousness, then it's sure that we will actually become pure devotees in this lifetime by the time we leave this corporal frame. It's sure, because Krishna has to listen to Prabhupada. That's really the point I'm making. You know, Krishna subordinates his Icha Shakti to Prabhupada's desire. And to me, that's so reassuring. But with demons, Krishna doesn't subordinate anything. He cut their head off. Otherwise, we were all like Palambasura. Actually, sometimes people join the movement with the intention of being like Palambasura, which is interesting. Probably, I think it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that in the Hare Krishna movement. That means a disciple of Kali. So, but other than that, if someone is actually a Prabhupada chela, a disciple of Prabhupada, then, or Prabhupada's follower and faithful to Prabhupada, then there's no worry about your own spiritual progress going back to home, back to God. Anyway, so this is the point I wanted to make. So we got three more minutes. Mother Urmila.
What about Krishna telling the Brahmin the messenger that he had been thinking about Rukmini before she wrote the letter? And he said he couldn't even sleep at night because of...
Yes. That's there too, because of her desire. Krishna's reciprocating with her desire. She's the goddess of fortune, obviously. Goddess of fortune. But the Acharyas describe that Krishna actually was subordinate to Rukmini's desire. Because of her desire. Krishna thinks of his devotee, just like, what is that word? What is that word? Sadavo ridiyam mayam, sadunam ridiyam tuham. Maranyate na janati naham tebyo managapi. Right? You know that verse? That Krishna says that that I am in the hearts of the devotees, and because I'm in the hearts of the devotees are in my heart. And then because they do not, maranyatena janati naham tebyo managapi, they do not know anyone else other than me as theirs, I do not know anyone else other than them as me. So that forces Krishna to think, you know, that pure devotional service, like Prabhupada said, don't try to see Krishna, right? Try to have Krishna see you. So by your bhakti, Krishna will actually see. Of course, Krishna's always seen you in the Paramatma. We understand that. But by your bhakti, Krishna actually starts meditating on his devotee. And so it's not that Krishna was bewildered by the, let's say, beauty of Rukmini. Of course, her beauty is transcendental, we understand. But her beauty is her bhakti. It's interesting, when one has a spiritual body, the body is non-different than the person, obviously, and the body is your bhakti, the body is yourself. You know, sometimes we say, you take a spiritual body, but that's not really precisely correct. You know, even though we may say that, but in the spiritual world, one is their spiritual body. It's non-different. It's not that the spiritual body is just waiting there, like, and you go back to Godhead and you just like slip into it when you go back to God. Isn't it? You actually are your spiritual body. It's covered right now. Just like Prabhupada said, a glove covers the hand. And you can't really feel things that well. And so when you go back to Godhead, before you go back to Godhead, the coverings come off. And you realize your spiritual self. So anyway, so Rukmini's beauty, which is her bhakti, actually attracted Krishna's attention. Anyway, so that's the secret to going back to Godhead right there. You please Krishna's devotee, yasha prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasha prasada na, gati gatopi. Okay,